Most of us dream of a luxurious Mediterranean beach vacation, maybe Greece or the Bahamas or Italy. Today, we're talking about the beautiful island country of Malta in Europe. Malta is a stunning country known for its delicious foods and gorgeous scenery, but it's also known for a 100% solve rate. That's right, Malta has solved all of their murders in 2020. Today, we will discuss the good and the bad parts of Malta, the food and fun, but also robberies, drug trafficking, families separated by finances, and domestic violence. Join Coral and I as we discuss the 7/2020 Malta murders.
Hey guys, welcome back to Crime Cafe. I'm one of your hosts, Coral.
And I'm Amber. And in this episode, we're going to be discussing the Malta murders. They had 7 murders in the year 2020, and all of them were solved.
Yes, love
it. And they also had a 100% solve rate the year before, 2019. Mm-hmm. So they've done this 2 years in a row.
Yes.
That's impressive. We should do a Valentine's murder.
Oh, yes.
And a St. Patrick's Day murder.
Yes. Knowing me and Amber will be like President's Day murder.
Yeah.
Grandparents' Day murder. Easter. I don't have anything to say.
I don't really either. It's been a...
It's been a long night.
Yeah.
I want another tattoo soon.
Yeah, let's go get one.
I would, but... Money, you know. I still haven't been stimulated.
You or Russ?
No, we haven't gotten our stimulus checks.
Why?
I don't know. Let me tweet Donald Trump. Oh, wait. He got banned. So, I guess we can just get into it. This is like our last case of the night. Our throats are like raw.
Yeah, and this isn't going to be, like, extremely long. Our previous ones have been extremely long.
Yeah, this isn't very detailed because we are talking about 7 different murders, but yeah. We will give you guys, like, the stuff you need to know.
Yeah, and if you want to look into it more by yourself, there is some info out there.
Oh, yeah, so. We have a ton of sources in the show notes. Just check those out.
Exactly. So, Malta is an extremely tiny country, 421 miles off the coast of Italy. Which, I would love to go to Italy someday.
That's yes, a period.
Malta is so tiny, in fact, that it could fit into Fannin County, Georgia.
Yes!
3 times.
Can you believe that, Amber?
I know, that's crazy. We live in a small town.
Yes.
So that's...
Yes.
3 times.
It could... A whole country 3 times.
That's crazy. So, although it is small, 122 square miles to be exact... It actually has a population of over 500,000, which is a little less than the population of the whole state of Wyoming.
So imagine the whole state of Wyoming living in Fannin County 3 times.
That's insane. How? So because of the surprisingly high population, there are about 1.6 murders per 100,000. So an average of about 8 murders per year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot because our county, which is 3 times bigger than Malta, doesn't experience anywhere near that.
No, but their population is over 500,000. Our population is 22,000.
Exactly.
And Blue Ridge is crowded.
Yeah, it's so crowded.
Could you imagine 500? No, actually 1.5. No, wait. Yeah, 1.5 million people in the size of Fannin. Because it could fit 3 times.
That's so crazy. That's a lot.
There's no way.
No.
It'd be horrible. We don't have enough housing.
No. Housing here is terrible.
Yeah, and it's expensive.
Yeah. So most of the people in Malta would consider themselves Roman Catholic. Malta citizens know a variety of languages. Most speak Maltese and English, but some know Italian and also some French. It sounds like an incredible place to visit. It's notoriously cheap to vacation and even live in Malta. That's interesting to know.
I know.
With some beautiful Airbnbs, less than $40 a night.
Yes, I looked him up. I'm like, okay, fine, I'm going.
Are you, like, right on top of people, or does it look?
They look like really pretty bungalows. Like,
that's so crazy.
I know.
There's this many people, but...
And they're still cheap as heck.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so most importantly, in our opinion, is that Malta is where the dog breed Maltese was developed. So cute.
Rest in peace, Casper and Lily.
Yes.
Those are my dogs.
Two Malteses.
Oh.
No, Sasha's a Yorkie. I was going to say you have another one that's still living. But she's a Yorkie. Never mind.
She's a Maltese in spirit.
Yes, she is. A ball. Although it's safe to say we're obsessed with Malta, the country does have its fair share of homicides. Most of our information is from the article titled 2020, the year in murders, all of them solved by police, by Matthew Zureb, from the Time of Malta newspaper. We're basically retelling the stories in this article because we just had to share this with y'all, but we do suggest you go read the original article.
Yes. So, I tried my best to put the pronunciations of all these names in here, so Amber and I are going to, like, do our best, you know, but we're not perfect. Okay, so police in Malta have solved all the homicides, like we said, in 2020 and 2019. For this episode, we will only be discussing the cases in 2020. Interestingly, only one woman was killed in 2020 in Malta, which is very strange to most of us true crime enthusiasts, because I feel like we would expect it to be the opposite. You know, five women and one man. Although there were only seven murders in Malta last year, that's still lives lost, and they're all important. The first murder of 2020 was the murder of Chantelle Chakuti on February 2nd, 2020. Chantelle was a gorgeous 34-year-old mother, so young with her whole life ahead of her. Unfortunately, we know more about what happened to her than who she was as a person. The story starts in 2013 when Chantelle filed domestic violence reports against her partner Justin Borg. Unfortunately, Chantelle chose not to testify against her partner Justin, so the charges were dropped. This is always a red flag in domestic violence cases because I feel like there could have been coercion or threats from the partner.
Oh, yeah, or calling you and saying, I'm so sorry, I'll never do it again, please.
I'll never do it again. I didn't mean it. I just got mad.
And they get back together before the trial happens and stuff. And you don't want your partner to go to jail.
Oh, exactly. So, especially if you have a kid with them.
Yeah.
Matthew Agui from Malta Today reported a witness on the night of Chantelle's murder testified that he was hanging out with Chantelle at a St. Patrick's football club in Zabar when Chantelle's ex-partner Justin showed up between 5 or 6 p.m. and started asking Chantelle to come outside to talk. Apparently, though, this was not the first time Justin and Chantelle had seen each other this day. They had met earlier that day at the same club around 3 p.m. According to this witness, Justin kept asking Chantelle to come talk to him outside, following her around a pool table, repeatedly asking, but she just ignored him. Creepy. He's like, come talk to me,
yes,
come talk to me.
Stop.
Yes, stop.
Leave her alone.
I know. Eventually, she relented and agreed to go talk outside.
No, never, don't, no.
If he's bothering you and following you around a pool table, divorce.
I just felt like she didn't have any other option. Like, he's just going to keep on until I go outside, so I'm just going to go outside so he'll leave me alone. I can have a good night.
I know, and there is a certain amount of trust there because he's like the father of her child, you know.
Yeah, you know, you've been with him before.
Mm-hmm.
He's never hurt you before. Or, I mean...
Well, he's never, like, threatened your life, probably, physically.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you can only kill someone one time.
Exactly. He hasn't killed her before, so, you know,
Yeah. She's
probably okay with it.
Yeah.
The friend of Chantelle testified that about 2 minutes later, someone ran into the bar screaming that someone had been stabbed. Also, this is very graphic, so just a disclaimer. He claims he went outside and saw a knife coming out of Chantelle's head, and she was shaking on the ground. He said Justin was nowhere to be found. This witness went to the police station right away and was rightfully questioned by police. A Malta officer testified that around 8:20 p.m., Justin Borg came to the police station and informed the officer that he had, quote, stabbed his girlfriend, and his hands and shirt were covered in blood. The officer also said, quote, he looked like he was about to cry, end quote. Who cares?
So the third witness, the one who found Chantelle's body, had actually seen the incident take place. So that's probably why Justin went and confessed. He knew someone had seen it.
Oh, yeah, he did in public.
So he was parked next to the sidewalk near the bar with his children in the back. The witness claims that he saw in his rearview mirror a man hitting a woman and her falling to the ground. A man waving around his hands and then watching the man get into a car. The witness then says he got out of his car and saw a woman shaking on the ground with a knife sticking out of her temple. He said he immediately ran inside and announced to the bar that a woman had been stabbed, corroborating Chantel's friend's testimony. Justin Bohr was arrested for the murder of Chantel, and two small bags of cocaine were found on him at the time of his arrest. He went into the police station with cocaine?
Yes.
How smart.
And blood on his body.
Good. Justin is pleading not guilty?
Even though he came with blood and said, I stabbed my girlfriend.
He confessed.
And there was CCT footage of showing him killing her.
So he's pleading not guilty to the murder of Chantel and the cocaine possession, regardless of the overwhelming amount of evidence against him. But the case has not yet been prosecuted.
Ew.
That's crazy.
Poor Chantel.
Yeah, and why is he now
saying not guilty?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, shocker, everybody in this whole episode pleads not guilty.
Of course. And he couldn't even, like, 2 minutes?
I know.
Literally, in 2 minutes, somebody was coming into the bar saying this woman has been stabbed. So as soon as they stepped out, he must have just instantly stabbed her.
It was premeditated.
Yeah, that's insane. He came there with the intent.
He stabbed her in the temple.
That's awful. So the second case of 2020 was on March 14th when Mubi Joseph Ezechi was allegedly stabbed and murdered by his roommate, Innocent Okudili. A 37-year-old husband and father-to-be was a native of Nigeria. His wife, Harmony, was at the very end of her pregnancy at the time of his death. We don't really know why Mubi and Harmony had a roommate, or if they were friends or related to him, or we don't really know if they, you know each other at all. But we do know that Innocent, the attacker, was also Nigerian and had just arrived in Malta 2 weeks prior to the murder. Also very interesting to me that the names are Innocent and Harmony.
Innocent.
Yeah.
Like, the attacker's name is Innocent.
Innocent.
Ew.
Yeah.
Like, ironic.
I know, it's weird.
But there's actually a big Nigerian community in Malta.
Huh.
So sometimes they go there to work and live.
That's interesting. So,
I like that.
According to Loving Malta, the two got into an argument simply over cooking and grocery shopping when Innocent stabbed Mubi in the chest. Mubi was rushed to the hospital, but unfortunately succumbed to his injuries that night. Harmony, coincidentally, was in labor at the time of this altercation, unaware that her husband sat fighting for his life in the same hospital. Harmony delivered a healthy baby boy and called her husband Mubi when she found out he had just been in a fight and was murdered. Devastating. Innocent has pled not guilty to murder and is awaiting trial. The Nigerian community in Malta has been raising money for Harmony and her son to help through this awful time. I think that's good that they're at least raising money to try and help her.
Yes, it's
and
so beautiful.
And how sad.
I know, she was like, I don't know why he wasn't at the hospital. I couldn't find that. But she was calling her husband to say, we have a beautiful baby boy. And
it's
they were
probably,
like, he's actually dead.
Yeah, it's probably common in other countries for them not to be there. And that was right at the start of the pandemic.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, literally days before I had cash, she was going through labor and finding out her husband was dead all at the same time.
Yes, and a lot of other countries took it more seriously than America or the United States.
Yeah, exactly. So, and weren't letting anybody come in.
No.
Yeah.
So, God, like, rest in peace, Mubi. I really hope you get justice in 2021.
Yes.
All of these cases, I hope they all get justice.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
This was all in 2020. This is all while we were at home, you know?
Yeah. So, on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, the day I gave birth. That's so weird when you read stuff that happened on a very important day of your life.
You feel like you should know about it and remember it.
Yeah. So, on March 17th, a grim murder was discovered. This is the third in the 6 Malta murders of 2020. I should say this was the third of the seven, because there's seven.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Okay. This is the third in the seven Malta murders of 2020. Neighbors in the Santa Lucia government housing estate reported to police on March 17th that they smelled a foul odor coming from a specific apartment. A 62-year-old man was found wrapped in black garbage bags, which were sealed with tape from the inside of the garbage bags, suggesting that the murderer taped together bags and then rolled the victim up. The victim's body was found in the bathroom with the door locked and a towel was wedged under the door. All windows and doors in the apartment were locked, so the police had to break a window to get in. Upon examination of the body, they found that he had suffered several blows to the head and there was evidence of strangulation. Because of the body's obvious decomposition, it was hard to identify the victim. The police were able to identify him through DNA for his relatives as Victor McKeon. An autopsy confirmed that Victor died from blunt force trauma to the head and suffocation. So he might have still been alive when the bags were placed. Or he was placed in the bags.
It's like one of my worst fears to lose my breath.
That's awful.
Ew.
And this is so, you know, they mentioned that, like, the doors and the windows were locked, but, like, you just take a key and lock the door after you walk outside.
I know.
It's not that big of a,
Well, the bathroom was locked and the towels stuffed under the door. They think that he did it so that, the smell wouldn't get out. And maybe the windows being all closed is weird for people in Malta because maybe it's hotter, you know, so maybe they keep the windows open. Yeah. We don't really know anything about that, you know, situation, but they made it a point to talk about that in the article, so maybe it means something.
Yeah. So in the apartment, police found a bloodstained blanket and blood in various unspecified places. Victor's body was placed near a bloody towel in the bathroom. It was clear a struggle had taken place. This isn't the first time Victor was attacked, though. According to a Times of Malta article by Matthew Zurib, two men entered Victor's home in the middle of the night and stabbed Victor while he was sleeping. Victor's roommate at the time, not his current roommate, so this was a different one, found him at 4 a.m. that morning. His injuries were life-threatening, but he did thankfully survive this attack. No one was ever charged for this stabbing.
So sad. Poor man.
Yeah, this is awful.
Why is everyone killing him?
Yeah, exactly. So, who would even kill an innocent 62-year-old man and stuff him in a bathroom? He did have a roommate, and his roommate was nowhere to be found at the time of discovery. Shocking. Police found out Victor's current roommate, Samar Almiri.
Yeah.
Mary. Almiri. Filed to Morocco. Fled to Morocco shortly after what would be Victor's time of death. A warrant was sent out for his arrest. Fortunately, 6 days after Victor's body was found. What?
Casablanca?
Casablanca police arrested Samar for the charges in Malta. Because of COVID-19. Extradition was hard to complete due to travel restrictions, but as of December 2020, Samari is in Malta police custody where he awaits trial. He has denied killing Victor. Well,
yeah, of course.
You're not going to say you did it. Unfortunately, we can't find a photo of Victor except for news photos of his body being removed from the apartment in a body bag, which we will not be posting for obvious reasons. We do, though, have a link in the show notes to a video of Samar Almiri being escorted by Malta police from the plane to a police vehicle. A motive for the murder of Victor has not been released.
It had to be something personal.
Yeah, this is so odd.
Yeah, like you kill your 60-year-old.
Yeah, and obviously you're going to be, like, looked at.
Yeah, and he's in his 20s. He's young.
Yeah, and when you instantly flee, like, right around probably the time of death. And why did you leave him in your apartment?
Like, I know.
Because if you removed him from the apartment, you could have just reported him missing.
I know. He went to a whole different country.
Yeah, that's so odd. I mean, that makes him obviously guilty. Like, you can tell.
I know. This. Like, you, it's obviously, they cleaned up.
Yeah.
You know, like, there was blood everywhere in the apartment. He's gone. All the windows are closed. You stuff a towel under the door. Hopefully this case will be resolved. But I wish there was a picture, of Victor.
Yeah.
I couldn't find one.
That's so sad that there's not.
I know. I guess because he's, like, old, you
know?
And
I feel like in a lot of these, like, other countries, the media maybe doesn't reach out to the family as much because there's not a lot of information about any of the victims.
There never is. Like, maybe I'm not looking in the right places. I mean, I have a lot of sources, but maybe I'm not looking in the right places when it comes to finding out family information. You know, because Google only shows you what they think you need to see.
And a lot of it's probably blocked from America, or it might be in another language or something that we couldn't even... Right.
And, like, if you were searching it in Malta, you're more likely to get relevant information than if you were searching it here.
Yeah.
Because it knows your location. Murders in Malta fortunately settled down from March until July 29th. On the 29th, two teenagers, Leon DeBono and Owen Shimbri, got into Vince Garafina's car. Vince also had his cousin, Savior Garafina, with him. They drove to a field in Hall Maleri, where an apparent argument broke out between the Garafina men and the teenagers. Around 10:45 p.m., a Renault Megane, which is a type of French car, pulled up to the International Fireworks Celebration. The car had both victims inside. Vince was shot in the head and chest. Savior was dead from a bullet wound in his head. Because of the injuries, Vince could not speak, but he was able to give witnesses at the fireworks festivities a piece of paper where he wrote the names of Leon and Owen, who were the teenagers, in the care...
In the car.
Oh, yes. He wrote the names of Leon and Owen, who were the teenagers in the car, and another name, Carmel Susella, who was also written down. I just got a text, sorry. The morning after the incident, Vince Garafina awoke in the ICU of a local hospital. There he was questioned by police. Vince stated that the two picked up the teens and were going for a drive. Weird. Vince was driving, Leon was sitting passenger, and Savior and Owen were sitting in the back. According to Vince, who was driving, Owen, seated in the back, started showing off a weapon. This is where an argument started, but Vince told police he couldn't recall what the argument was about. Leon, in the passenger seat, then allegedly shot Vince once in the face and once in the chest. Vince jumped out of the car and began running, but Leon continued to shoot, eventually shooting Savior. The teens tried to flee some days after the murders, but were thankfully caught by police. According to the teens, they only shot because Vince pulled a knife on them in the vehicle. A teen relative of Owen and Leon, who was not named in any reports because of his age, saw this case on the news and immediately called Owen 5 times with no answer. He apparently knew that Owen would be involved for some reason. Owen eventually called the other teen back and asked him to come over. The teen testified that he came over and in a panic helped the boys dismantle the gun, the murder weapon, and he scattered the weapon over 3 different areas at a group of apartments. Although this involves this unknown teen in the murder, he still agrees to testify about helping hide the weapon. The 2 18-year-olds were charged with murder and attempted murder. The suspected motive is related to drug trafficking. Both teens have pled not guilty.
So, Vince didn't say, like, why or where he picked these teens up?
He didn't say why. It's not reported why. He just said, we're just going for a ride. That's all we were doing. Sorry, but what's 2 grown men picking up 2 18-year-old boys and going out to a field? Drugs. Anything.
Yeah. It's odd to me that the boys attacked the men. I wonder if the men provoked them in some way. Like, I feel like grown men could say, like, oh, I'm going to pick you up. We'll go, like, to eat or to a store or here or there and then take you out to the middle of a field.
Oh, yeah. I know. Like, one of the teens said that the only reason that he shot Vince or that he, yeah, that the only reason that he started shooting was because one of them tried to stab them.
That's scary.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. You know, I'm not saying, like, this was Vince's fault or anyone's fault.
We really don't know what happened.
No. It's just, that's a crazy.
All we know is two teens are involved with murder and attempted murder, and one of them helped him hide the weapon. It's really sad.
And they suspect drug trafficking.
They suspect drug trafficking.
You know.
Why, but Malta article says that.
So, the fifth case in our episode, unfortunately, doesn't have many public details at all. According to the main article we're sourcing in Times of Malta, Sophia Dalla is accused of shooting his son, Antoine Dalla, to death on August 7th. Antoine was found by police in the bathroom, having suffered a shot to the stomach. Reports state that the father and son have had a rough relationship and had been fighting over money for months. Two of the father's other sons have been fighting over this financial dispute as well. Anton arrived to his father's house on bicycle, forced his way into the house, and tried to attack Salva upon entering his bedroom, and then was shot by Salva. Salva has pled not guilty. That's just...
I wish there was more information.
Yeah, there's not a lot on that.
I know. But a father did shoot a son. Something happened.
Yeah, obviously.
It takes a lot, I feel like, for a father to shoot a son.
Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, like he forced his way into the house and he was, like, trying to attack.
Yeah.
So it could have been self-defense, or this could be something the father's, like, making up. We don't right. know.
Like, every time these people plead guilty, the article just says they're pleading not guilty. They don't say on what grounds. Like, not guilty because of self-defense, not guilty because of insanity, nothing like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is going to be, like, the sixth and seventh murder. Two people were murdered at the same time of 2020 in Malta, and it's a doozy. So, this comes just one day after the murder of Anton Dolly on August 18th. Partners Christian Pandolfino and Ivor Massey-Jofsky were murdered in their home in Sliema by robbers.
Hate.
Yes, that's scary.
At night.
Oh, no, that's even worse.
I know.
Oh, God. So, Christian, a 58-year-old doctor, was shot almost immediately upon the robber's entry. According to a forensic doctor, Mario Scarry, he was shot at almost point-blank range. Christian suffered shots to his lips. Oh.
I know.
That's...
They said lips.
That's awful.
Ugh.
Right side of his neck, one that grazed his skin and one to his heart. According to the Malta Independent, Ivor, a 20-year-old art dealer, was shot in his head at medium range.
So Christian was the first one to answer the door, and they shot him a lot.
So they knocked on the door?
Yes.
Mm. Ugh, that's awful. So because of COVID, and because this case is still so new and ongoing, there have been arrests made. Though
Jesper Christensen.
Why could I not? From North Macedonia was extradited from Spain to Malta. Daniel Muka was arrested a few days later in Brazil. Daniel Muka and his brother are already facing charges of attempted murder and robbery. Over 300,000 euros worth of jewelry in 2017. Victor Dragomansky fled arrest by running across rooftops. What? Okay, movie. Somalia, Malta, but was eventually captured by the police chasing him.
It reminds me of, like, that scene in Mulan at the end where she's like, get off the roof,
Yeah, So there's going to be police and a man running on your roof. What if you're home?
Malta is lit, y'all. Like,
We what if no one else knocked your ceiling citizens. Fan out or something? Oh my gosh.
It could have been a business, maybe. I like to imagine it's like a skyscraper.
Yeah.
Although none of these cases have been prosecuted, it's safe to say the Malta police are prompt, fair, and thorough. This is the kind of police work we like to see. We hope that all police investigators are this diligent in every civil and criminal case, but we know that's not possible on a world scale. Thank you, Malta police, for making your little country a better place by removing dangerous people from society. We hope that these people are prosecuted and punished to the fullest extent of Maltese law in 2021, which will be life in prison because the death penalty was completely abolished in the year 2000. Let us not forget the lives lost in Malta in 2020. Chantel Chakuti, Amubi Joseph Izechi, Victor McKeon, Savior Gaffarina, Antoine Dali, Christian Pandolfino, Ivor Massey E. Jofsky. And those were the murders of 2020 in Malta.
I think it's amazing, like, even though there were, you know, 7 murders, they're all
crazy.
Yeah. And they all have somebody. How was it so easy?
When I started to read this article, I did not expect all the different murders. You've got everything in this.
Yeah, you would kind of feel like 4 or 5 people were probably murdered in one.
Yeah.
If all of them are solved.
I was, knowing me, being in the United States, I was expecting like a drive-by shooting or something.
Yeah.
Something that wasn't personal or connected, but they're all personal.
But only 2 of them were together.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's so sad. They're so cute, too. I saw a picture of them. We'll post these pictures, like, what pictures I can find on our Instagram at Crime Cafe Pod.
So, if you want to message us, you can message us or DM us on Instagram, which you just said was at Crime Cafe Pod, or you can email us at crimecafepod@yahoo.com. Leave us a review or...
Yeah, rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah, anything about this case you want to discuss.
And you guys have to, like, suggest cases to us. We're constantly adding to the list.
Yes.
Also, we have merch. Still.
Yes. And it is in the link in our bio on Instagram.
Yes, go get a coffee mug that says Crime Cafe. Yes. That'd be really cool. Tell your friends about our show, and we'll see you... I mean... You'll listen to us next week.
Bye.
Bye.